Blog Talk Radio.
Check us out on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Out on HuntsvilleBlack.com, another place where we're bringing forces to power.
To the rap, hip hop.
Also on Facebook, you can just type in HuntsvilleBlack.com and get us on there also as well. We are bringing forces. Editors and business partners.
In this episode of Bringing Voices to Power, I hand off this series to April Gail Lee. April holds a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Texas at Arlington and a master's of mental health counseling from Walden University. April is a strong black queen who has strong views on many subjects concerning the black community, culture, and world at large. Good evening, April. How's it going? Good evening, April. You there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. How's it going?
Okay. It's going well.
Yeah, I was just
How
read
are you doing?
It's doing good. I'm working on bigger and better plans. The show, people have really been inboxing me. They really appreciate, you know, having that feminine voice on the show, and you got such a strong voice with a personal story to tell. And I'm working with some new, so We're going to double down on this, and hopefully when you're ready, we can take this thing on to a longer time. But this 30-minute slot is a good slot to get in, you know, to make some excellent points and you out there. But anytime you're ready, we're going to go head on and do a show as long as you want to. So what's been on your mind lately?
It's been a lot on my mind, but just to address what you said, I definitely would love to take it to an hour. But if I do take it to an hour, I want to do it right. So I want to have, you know, an agenda, you know, that I can address and maybe set up some people, you know, to call it, you know, talk about different things. So I want to get all of that together. So, like I said, within the next couple of weeks, you know, I foresee, you know, that happening. What I'm trying to do now is just build that fan base. You know, so that's what I'm trying to do now. A lot has been in my mind.
You got a nice base going. I mean, you only did a couple of shows, and the responses has been great. The numbers are looking good. You got people listening. I mean, I can tell you this right here. You've had at least 50 people listen to your first two shows.
Wow.
Each show, one show did 47, another one did 50-something. But that's good for, you know, just now beginning.
Yeah.
So how's everything?
Everything's good, but I want to take this time not to cut you off, but I want to apologize to the viewers as far as all that background noise that I had last time. You know, I definitely don't want to think my viewers to think that they're going to get low quality. So like I said, what I plan on doing is, you know, setting up my office quiet space, you know, to do it in the future when it does expand. So, like I said, if that won't happen again, you know, I honestly did not know that you could hear all of that. I really didn't.
I'll tell you this right here. I mean, we might say that, but that show was live. It was real. I mean, sister sitting in the chair, her hair twisted. I mean, it's all good. But, yeah,
right.
We'll get that sound quality and everything else down. Now, tell us what's going on, what's on your mind, you know, this week, what the people need to be checking into and hearing about.
Well, the only thing that has really been on my mind is the communication between black men and black women. That has really been my focus because that's the first step to achieving any type of progress within the black community is working on our communication, because if we cannot communicate, we cannot achieve anything as far as progression in the black community. So that has been my focus on showing people, you know, why it's important to communicate, respect, you know, effectively and understanding, you know, and talk, yes, but also listen. So that has been my focus. And because I repeat over and over again, the people, I think people are starting, you know, to address me appropriately. And that's the only thing that we can do. Each one of us has to demand respectful dialogue from each other. It's not an option anymore. It has to be a requirement if you want to progress as a people. And that's how it is for me. It's no option. You can't call me names or none of that, you know, just because you disagree with me. You know, you have to respect me 100% of the time, and I demand that. And we need to start demanding respect from one another and not saying that it's okay because you disagree. People are like, you see what I'm saying? And a lot of people that call it, you know, each other names, they were taught that. You know, because we were conditioned. Like I said, it all stems back to slavery. Everything always goes back there. But we were taught that it's okay to talk to each other like that during slavery. We need to reteach ourselves that that's not okay. And the reason why I bring that up, because a lot of people who call each other names are very intelligent, very bright. They have good ideas for our community to progress. They really do. And, you know, they have a lot of potential. However, you know, they think that, you know, they could still disrespect one another. And like I said, if you do that, your ideas will not, you know, help serve the community. So that's what I'm trying to push, basically, this respectful dialogue is my current agenda right now. Because, like I said, and I'm going to say it again, until we get that situated, you know, of course there's always going to be some people, you know, who don't want to cooperate. But like I said, when half, over half the people are being like that, and we have to address that or we won't progress. And I'm not mind here lately. Anything you want to add to that?
And that's a great point. You can't begin anything unless you can't solve any problems unless you come to the table with mutual respect. You can't go And that goes back to something when you deal with the racism. It goes back. That relates to what Malcolm X said. He said the racism will never be solved until the white man and black man can sit down at the same table, and the white man has to feel free to speak his feelings without fear of hurting the black man's feelings, and the black man has to feel free to speak his mind about the white man without fear of hurting the white man's feelings. That same thing can be applied to black relationships. We have got to come in on an even footing. If you come into the conversation about, no matter whatever it is, that you're on this higher mark or you're better than the person or you can call them out of their names, there's no way you're going to get solved something. Because if you come out calling somebody a name, how am I supposed to work with you? If you come out you thinking this and that, you are not coming in on the even field. So that's you're exactly right. That's the first step in solving any of our problems, is to be able to talk and conversate and dialogue with one another. And you gotta feel free to put your feelings out there and you know, not to hurt someone, but just like the show. When I said the word the hood rat, I mean, females got mad at me because all of a sudden I said, hey, well, wait a minute, a hood rat can be a male or a female. And I get into that as well, you know, because we have some men out here doing some crazy messed up things too. They're destroying the community and black family structure as well. You know, they're giving our younger kids a bad image to see out there. You know, we don't need to see, you know, they see these rims, they want to imitate it. They see all this gold on your neck, they want to imitate it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that. Yeah, they don't understand that you have got to get to a point where that is not your main goal, is the outside facade, how it looks. You got to go deeper within yourself. And I think if you're constantly calling people's names and constantly tearing them down intentionally, now people are going to get mad, their feelings are going to get amped up, and things are going to slip out. But if you just come into a situation calling people's names, really, you got a bad feeling about yourself. You really don't feel bad about that person. There's something going on within yourself that you need to fix.
Right. And I'm glad that you mentioned the name of that. And like I said, while I see where you were going with that, I do understand where, you know, people were coming from that were upset about that. And the reason why I say that is because I do believe black people have been labeled. We have been labeled and stereotyped our whole life, you know, and in generations in the past have been labeled and stereotyped negatively. So we do that to each other. So I think that we need to really stop labeling each other. And so, like I said, even with the hood rat thing, I really don't like it. I understand what you were doing with it, but I really don't like it because we're labeled so much that we definitely don't need to label each other, period, because we are all individuals. And none of us are perfect. And so, like I said, just because one person does this, and it don't mean that you can label them as hood rats. They're just individuals who are choosing to do that or don't even know that what they're doing, you know, they may not know a better way. So, I try not to ever label people at all because, like I said, black people are labeled enough. Yeah. So, like I said, when I say
I'll tell you a label.
Remove that part.
I tell you a label that I do not like, and I hear a lot. You know, maybe it's just down here in Sweet Home, Alabama. But I hear a lot of people, men and women, will tell kids, just men and women now, will tell kids, you know, with your black ass, or set your black ass down. You know what I'm saying? They coming out, they don't know that they're training these kids that black is something bad. I mean, that's one of the labels. That's the top label that I would get rid of. If I could get rid of any label, it would be some of the labels that we say to our kids out of frustration. You know, they may be acting out a little bit, but we got to think of another way because you don't know how that is going to happen. That kid's going to grow up, you know, being dark-skinned. Yeah. They're beautiful, but they're going to be thinking in their mind, you know, black, you know.
Right, and I definitely agree with you 100%. I know you say you want to lose some labels. Definitely, like I said, and I'm not saying that I'm right, but I feel like always we need to be removed. And we definitely don't need to label anybody. And the second thing that we really need to focus on is separating the behaviors from the person, because the person is not the behavior. So that's definitely something that we need to do. Like, if there be, you know, like I said, they may be behaving, like you say, quote unquote, a hood rat, but they're not a hood rat. So their behavior, it's the behavior that we're focusing on, not the person. And when we focus on the behavior as opposed to the person, you know, it's easier for them to recognize and improve. Because when you just focus on the person, like, you're a hood rat. Instead of your behavior is like, you know, the behavior. When you focus on the behavior instead of the person, then they don't feel judged as much. Like, they still might feel judged. And sometimes people just may feel judged. You know,
you
can't be afraid to constructively criticize, you know, people. Like you said, to not hurt their feelings. Sometimes feelings is going to be hurt. You feel the same, but you just want to make sure that it's coming from a good place. When you do get constructive criticism, that you don't name call or label people when you don't get constructive criticism, and that you constructively criticize people the same way that you want to be constructively criticized. And that's what I do, because, like I said, I don't mind people giving me constructive criticism. Not easy, you know, to handle. I'm going to be honest about that. But as you mature and grow, you need to be able to handle constructive criticism. We need to teach each other to do that. There's nothing wrong with constructive criticism from your family and friends, people that really care about you. And you need to at least learn to handle that from people that know us. I think that we need to be cautious, though, on giving constructive criticism of people that we don't really know personally, because it's going to be coming from an ignorant place. And that's what a lot of people in these groups don't realize. You cannot constructively criticize someone in a group because you don't know them well enough to give accurate criticism. You cannot judge somebody's behaviors from stuff they type in a group. So that's what you're trying to explain to people. So your constructive criticism is not going to be accurate and may not be in their best interest, because you need to actually know.
And it's not going to be, basically not going to be constructive.
Right,
it's going to be destructive instead of constructive.
Right. It could be. Now, it could be. Like, they could be right. They could have, you know, assessed the situation correctly based on, you know, what people were saying in the group. But you don't want to take that chance. So that's why I say when people always want to act like in these groups or just out and about that they want to construct, I say, well, do that with your family and friends, because people don't do that enough to their family and friends. They let their friends, you know, and family act a monkey. But then they want to come in these groups and, because, you know, no, you should be doing it. You should be uplifting and empowering your family. You should be all your folks and energies that you have so much knowledge and building up your family and friends, even the ones that don't want to be built up. You can still encourage them and empower them and just leave it alone. Just give them the information and just leave it alone. That's what is building up our family and friends, people that we actually know. Because I see a lot of people who have a lot of intelligence, not a lot of knowledge, and they just don't want to go there with their family and friends because they feel like maybe they'll be, you know, outcast or whatever, but we can't be afraid, you know, to do that. So, and I think that's very important to do that with our family and friends. You know, and as opposed to people that we really don't know, there's no reason to really do that. You know, so that's one solution that we need to, like I said.
They can't stop us. Check us out on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com.
April, you there?
Yes, what happened?
April. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes.
The phone went dead. Just pick up from your last point. I had to call back in. I said, man, I hope she don't hang up. I don't know. I must have a bad connection. But we were talking about, you were talking about removing these labels.
Right. But I had gone past that, and I'm talking about solutions now. One of the first solutions that I encourage all of our listeners to do themselves and spread amongst, you know, the Black community and any Black person that they really know is, you know, definitely constructive criticize, you know, your family and friends, you know. And what I mean by that is don't come from a negative or a hateful place or a hating place, do it and want to see them do better, want to uplift them. So that's what I mean by constructive criticism. Like, hey, you doing this, and you know, I see what you're doing here, but you know, if you do it this way, you might have a better outcome, you know, or if you, you know, you do this, because you see what I'm saying. So that's what I mean by constructive criticism, and it has from a loving place. If it doesn't come from a loving place, then don't say it. You know, just keep these up. If you're hating on somebody or you're mad because they, you know, don't say it. We got to learn to, because I know we were taught to be jealous of each other through divide and conquer techniques. So that's why I'm cautious when I tell any black person to constructively criticize, because I know that we have been, a seed of jealousy has been planted in us through the divide and conquer technique, white supremacy. So we have to be careful when we do constructive criticize and make sure that it's not coming from a jealous place. We have to check our jealousy at the door, because we do have a lot of it in our community, because it was taught. We were taught to be jealous and envious of each other. I mean, so we picked up those traits. So we have to definitely check ourselves. I do it all the time. I check myself, you know, and when it comes up, I'll be like, you know what, just hating on this woman, let me give her a compliment. Let me brighten up her day. You know, that's a win-win situation, you see. And like I said, I know I don't have it as bad as, you know, most women, but, you know, we all have a little in us solutions that I won't speak on, which is to constructively criticize family and friends, and what that means, just empower them to do better. So, because when they do better and we're helping each other do better, we all do better as a community. And the second thing, second solution that I want to tell our callers and they, you know, tell somebody else, is that we need to demand that we talk to each other with respect. It's not, like I said, for me, it's not an option to talk to me disrespectfully. Like I said, I've tolerated, I've tried to be using with people. I'm not reasoning with anybody ever, you know, in the black community again. Like I said, if you cannot talk to me respectfully, you just don't talk, period. So if you want to talk to me, which a lot of people want to talk to me, want to engage with me, I demand respect. If you cannot give me respect, then we cannot have dialogue, period. Every black person should have that standard. So that's
the because if you're not giving that respect, it's not, if you don't have that respect coming to the table, it's not dialogue anyway. It's not dialogue, it's really not even debate. It's just
right,
argument.
Right. And I'm not saying
and what you said is exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you 100% when you said you got to learn to separate the problem from the person. See, that's a lot of times when we get in trouble at. In black man and woman relationships, we try to merge the problem and the person together, and you can never solve anything like that.
Right, right, right. And I do it. I'm guilty. Like I said, anything that I'm saying,
we're all guilty.
Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of calling people names in the past, and I worked on that. And so now I'm proud of myself, because I don't call people, I don't even have the urge to call people names anymore. It feels so good not to feel the need, you know, to call my brother and sister's name. You see what I'm saying? Not that I did it all the time. I'm not going to say that. But sometimes, you know, when it got there, I went there, you know, whether it was for show, to stir a pot, but we need to move beyond that if we're trying to find real solutions in our community. So, like I said, I can proudly say that I don't even feel the need to call, you know, any of my brothers and sisters any name, regardless. If they call me, they may call me anything up from the sun, from the book. You know, I will just end the conversation with them, because I don't have to engage in a conversation with somebody who feels, who doesn't have respect for me. And like I said, it doesn't mean that we're going to have perfect dialogue. People still may be upset, and that's okay. If we get upset, we still may turn into argument, and that's okay. Even if it turns into argument, disagreement, whatever, people get heated, that is okay, as long as we keep the respect. You know, you can get heated, you can get passionate, you know, you make it even, like I said, if you face it, you make it even yell. Just don't go below the belt, as they said. You know, keep it above the belt, and just keep it,
without
the name calling.
Yeah, you're in a conversation, like you're saying, you're in a conversation, and you or the other person say that one wrong word, especially if you know each other, and that person's going to know intimate things about you, and and you're going to know intimate things about them. That person is going to say what they can to hurt you the most. So that's why you have to be careful with the name calling, because, like you said, when you go there, It's kind of hard to come back. When you go there, the conversation probably is not going to get back to what it was originally intended.
Right. And another thing, like I said, do you have any solutions that you want to add? Because I don't want to get into all my solutions, but those are the first two solutions that I want my callers to focus on. And I'm going to you want me to repeat the solutions for the callers that I went over?
Okay.
Did you want to add some?
Mm-hmm. One is, you talk about solutions, one of the solutions and probably the top solution would probably be to learn how to separate the person from the problem.
Right. So
that's
we can add a
that's
the number
that's
one.
That's the first
yeah.
step.
Right. You're right about that. That's definitely important. And like I said, definitely think about what that means. I'm asking my callers to think about what that means to them, separating the problem from the person.
Yeah.
Because some people might not have thought about that. Okay.
I'm going to give you a quick example about that when it comes to separating the person from the problem. And this is coming from a piece that I wrote on HuntsvilleBlack.com called Principles of Conflict Resolution Between Black Man and Black Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just said, you got to separate the person from the problem. Be soft on the person. Hard on the problem. The person is the X. Okay, the person is the X. And out of respect for the black family structure, you must be soft. Anything other than that is of European origin, because conscious Africans should understand that the black woman is queen, black man is king. In the words of Master Teacher John Henry Clark, either we make it together or we will not make it. And that should be stained in our minds. But the article goes on to say some other things too, like the problem arises in the breakdown in the relationship. And this is where the black man or black woman has the potential to actually live out one of those labels such as hood rat rather than king or queen. And I was just urging black people to try to come together and try to dialogue without all the poison. Let's remove the poison out of it. And another thing that we can do too, and you'll probably agree with this, is you got to focus on the interest, not position. The interest, if the relationship breaks down and you go separate ways, you got to focus on interest. And you both have an interest in the child. You don't need to focus on positions. Well, I got custody, they don't, or whatever, or start feeling sorry for yourself because you don't have custody, or start trying to inflict damage on the person because you do. When positions look incompatible, you got to look at interest. So I was just going to throw that out there. It's focusing on more on the problem, not the perfect person, and focusing on interest, not positions.
And just to recap, because I think we only got a couple more minutes, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason why that I'm focusing on communication is because I personally do not believe that we can make any progression in the black community as far as, dealing financially, owning our own stuff and working together and just having more unity. I don't believe that we can do that effectively without first learning how to properly communicate. So the first way that, we went over three solutions today, but the first solution is removing the person from the problem. So separating the person from the problem is important within all your relationships, especially your intimate relationships, because that is the hardest. Communicating with your intimate partner and your family and loved ones is harder to do and harder to keep that respectful rather than a stranger on the street, especially in the black community, because we've been taught to disrespect our loved ones more than strangers on the street. And so sometimes strangers on the street better than our loved ones. And the second solution that we discussed is holding our family members accountable, as well as ourselves. We got to hold ourselves accountable first, and then we got to hold our, family members and friends accountable by giving them constructive criticism. So that's the second solution. And the third solution that we discussed, I'm sorry, I just almost hit the car, I'm sorry. The third solution, what was the third solution that we discussed?
The first one is separating the person from the problem.
And the second solution was
The second one was, generate options for mutual gain. And we need to practice more direct communication. Mm-hmm. We need to talk with others and not about them.
Right.
Okay, right. We're winding it down. And like I said, the show is going to go up to an hour whenever you're ready.
Right. Right, but I wanted to address the third solution, which the third solution is demanding respectful dialogue from our brothers and having zero tolerance policy with respectful dialogue.
Bringing voices to power. They can't stop us. Check us out on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com.
Thank you.